You're listening to the August 19th episode of Cheesehead Radio. I want to talk about acne. Tonight's guest blogger is Brandon from acnepackandcompany.com.
Reach the eye.
Gets the ball. Pyle driving his goal. In for the touchdown. What a great second effort.
Here comes on special teams. I think Sean Slocum, Chad Morton have done a great job of clearly going back through the play.
Reach.
Here comes Underwood. He gets a plot from Sambo.
You are listening to Cheesehead Radio.
Hey, who is this?
This is CD.
CD. All right. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
Hey, Jersey Al here.
Oh, Jersey Al! I bet that's Holly. Who is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, you're on Cheesehead Nation. Who is it?
It isn't the Glenn Beck show.
Oh, man.
Glenn.
Howard! I'm hanging on.
Cheesehead Radio.
What is going on, Green Bay Packer Nation? Welcome to Cheesehead Radio for our August 19th episode. I want to talk about acne. There is plenty to talk about tonight. Coming off our first preseason game, it doesn't get much better than that. We're going to talk about an impact rusher opposite Clay Matthews. We're going to see if Sam Shields. It's Jared Bush with more speed. We're going to talk a little Aaron Rodgers, and we're going to talk with our guest tonight, our very special guest, Brandon Benson from acnepackingcompany.com. I'm here tonight with our very special guest, CJ Angeli from tundravision.com. We got Jersey Al from jerseyal.com. We have a very special guest tonight taking the place of our AWOL Holly Phelps and Jamie Jors of brentfarve.com. Guest hosting, stepping in for the ladies, stepping it up, and showing females everywhere how it's done. And last but not least, of course, we got me, Alex, from the Backers Lounge at cheeseheadtv.com. So without further ado, as always, I turn it over to our general in charge, our supreme leader, and no, he's not your father, the wonderful, the everlasting, and the always good-looking CD Angeli. What's going on, CD?
Oh my gosh, Alex, it gets worse every week. Holy cow. Not too much. I don't have much to give you. Holly right now is flying in an airplane above everyone's heads, and hopefully she's nice and safe. So we have Jamie Jors with us this week. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Hello, Jamie. Welcome.
Fantastic. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the show. You recently are locked into Cheesehead TV and brentfarve.com. How'd you get involved with that?
It's all Holly's fault.
Naturally.
I had my own blog that I write about a lot of sports, not just the Packers, and Holly read a post that I wrote, and she recommended me for Brent Favre, and then the rest is history. And then the Cheesehead TV thing, I just told them I could be their moderator. I don't have anything else to do. I'm going to be watching the Packer games regardless, so figured why not.
Excellent. Well, it's good to have you here. And by the way, just so you know, since you are the rookie, you do have to carry Jersey Al's pads for the duration of the show. So,
I know.
Yeah, shoulder pads. You got to carry that. You're okay with that.
Everyone
though,
has
right?
to do it.
It's part of our hazing ritual.
Well, I don't want to say no. I don't want to get the Dez Bryant treatment. So.
There you go.
Smart move.
Good call. Good call.
Well, how about we get right to our Packer news this week?
Thank you, CD. In Packer news, rumors were swirling this week that Al Harris could be cleared to start practicing with the team this upcoming Monday. Although no one from the Packers or the NFL would confirm that, Harris was seen working out on his own during practice for the first time.
That's sure a good sign, Al. Another good sign was the return to practice of the only real punt returner the Packers have, Will Blackman. After resting his knee for the last week, Blackman said his knee felt better, so he decided to get back out there and work on his transition to safety. Blackman also worked on catching punts, which everyone agreed he looked very good at. Afterwards, Blackman remarked that he can return punts in his sleep.
As opposed to some other returners that seem to be asleep. Well, certainly not asleep last Saturday was the Packers' first team offensive line. They graded out very well, according to head coach Mike McCarthy. Despite a preponderance of blitzes from the Cleveland Browns, they managed to keep Aaron Rodgers unsacked and untouched. The second team line did not fare so well, testing Flynn's manhood as he absorbed some really hard hits.
Flynn wasn't the only one who took a hard hit. Ryan Grant was knocked woozy on a first quarter play and barely made it off the field. He suffered a concussion but was back at practice on Tuesday after having been cleared by team doctors and an independent neurologist as per the new NFL policy. Grant had an interesting comment about the new policy. While saying it's good overall, Grant speculated that it may result in fewer players admitting to having symptoms to not have to miss any games.
Wow, I think there's probably some truth to that, Jamie. And speaking of telling the truth, or not, the Brett Favre Viking charade thankfully came to an end. The Vikings' three amigos flew down for a sleepover at the Favre's house, where they convinced him to once again go make out with the ugly Viking chick. Or was that Brad Childress? Well, in any case, Brett flew to Minnesota, where he once again, the Vikings were too cheap to hire a car service to pick him up.
And for the final word on Favre, we give you Leroy Butler, who made a guest appearance on Cheesehead TV's Packer Transplant Show. When asked about Favre's return, Butler, never one to tap dance around a question, simply replied, "I wanted Favre to come back so Rodgers can beat him twice."
You and all of Packer Nation, Leroy. And now, it's time for news from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week in the Packers Twitterverse.
Hands down, like it or not, folks, this week's best tweets were all about Brett Favre. Reports of his plane's arrival in Minnesota were tweeted and retweeted far and wide. Greg Bedard put an exclamation mark on it by tweeting, "The Silver Eagle has landed. Repeat, the Silver Eagle has landed."
As for the spectacle of his return unfolded, with live helicopter coverage of Favre being driven from the airport to the Vikings facility, Raheem Tariq tweeted, "Why couldn't it have been a white Ford Bronco? Why?"
But the tweet that had me all ROTFL came from one of my favorite tweeters, Cheesehead Chick. First, a tweet from Eric Stangle arrived saying, "So the Vikings kicker was driving Brett Favre. I don't want to know what the holder was doing." To that, Cheesehead Chick replied, "Gently clutching Brett's Crocs." That's not easy to say, folks, but that is the tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week.
Very good, guys. Very good. Good. Excellent. Gotta love Twitter. I heard Twitter just crashed. So hopefully that means there's more people with us in the chat room right now.
It's actually pretty loaded, yeah.
Excellent. There's nowhere else to go.
It's like 25 dudes taking it.
Dudes?
Well, dudes do that. Packer
hey, guys.
Fan.
All you in the chat room, how you guys doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
3 minutes after the delay gets to them.
That's about it. Well, we've always had a special that we do every week that's been called the Rants of the Week, and we've been trying to come up with a better name for it, something a little more Packerish. So this week, our new guest host of the week, Jamie, is going to be giving us our rant, but we've decided to give it a different name, and after much ado, we've settled on who moved my cheese curd. So with that, I give you Jamie.
Who moved my cheese curd?
Well, I do appreciate the name change, as yesterday I received some cheese curds from Wisconsin, and they actually were taken from my fridge at work, which I was not happy about. But on to who moved my cheese curds. My main objective this week was to find something to talk about that wasn't about Brett Favre. But it seems he is everywhere. Last night, I even dreamt that someone was forcing me to have him as my quarterback on a high school team I was coaching. And today was filled with even more news of the Chili Favre schism. But I really don't want to talk about him. And as I sat there yesterday listening to both his and Childress's press conferences, I couldn't help but be happy that none of this involved the Packers. Childress tried to joke about Favre's waffling, saying that Favre could start off explaining about hunting and end the story as a vegan. Why would anyone want that quality in the leader of their team? But it got me thinking about how incredibly grateful I am that Favre is no longer my quarterback. Besides the drama, the almost intervention-esque attempts to corral him in, and regardless of on-field performances, here are my top five reasons that I am thankful that my quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. Number one, Rodgers' ability to grow a mustache and a mullet. Does anything else scream Wisconsin more? He's practically one pair of Zumbas away from being inducted as a lifelong resident. Number two, he's not a grandfather. Okay, I loved my grandfathers, but for some reason, not really what I'm looking for in a quarterback. Number three, I really like having a quarterback with a quirky little nickname and a silly celebration dance. Number four, he quotes Dumb and Dumber and other such classic movies with fans on Twitter. But most importantly, number five, he is, like us, a fan. He doesn't just enjoy sports. He enjoys sports all around. He still possesses the ability to be in awe of other great players besides himself. Like when he went golfing with Michael Jordan and Jerry Rice, he tweeted that he played terrible but had a blast with two childhood idols. He also closely followed the World Cup and the NBA off-season trade drama. Brett Favre was famous for his childlike love of the game, but Rodgers possesses the ability to understand sports, both from the perspective of a player and a fan. And for that, this season I promise not to be a bitter girl when I see Favre playing for the Vikings. Instead, I will simply be thankful that we have Rodgers. Oh, and I'll be thankful after Rodgers and the Packers sweep the Vikings this year. And that's this week's Who Moved My Cheese Curds.
Here, here.
Nice.
Bingo.
Nice. Standing ovation on that one.
You're going to tell me that was your first time, right, Jamie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No.
Okay, we got a lot to live up to, guys, next week. Holy cow.
Pressure's on now.
I swear. Holy cow. All right. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, excellent job, Jamie. Thank you. We're now to the point in our show where we're to our fun little debate part that Jamie will be hosting. It is time for Extra Points of Contention.
Well, welcome to our weekly debate on issues in the Packers universe that tend to divide the fans. Our three bloggers will weigh in on the issues, and with our last one, breaking the tie. I will be your host as we go through our extra points of contention. Is everyone ready?
Born ready.
We are ready.
Okay, extra point number one. The Packers do not have an impact pass rusher to complement and to take the focus off of Clay Matthews.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to take a touchdown on this one. Yeah, a good, you know, John Kuhn beat it in from the goal line, get hit back, and then throw it all the way in. That I just don't think, if you look back at our last two games, the game that the Cardinals had, or that we had against the Cardinals, where really Clay Matthews was the only one getting to the quarterback. And then last week, when Clay Matthews wasn't in, nobody got to the quarterback. I don't think we have that other pass rusher that is going to get in there. I wrote today, actually, on my blog, what a great idea it would be to have Nick Barnett over there. I think it would be fantastic to have that. But then, of course, you lose something in the middle. Until we get that impact pass rusher, I think this whole defense is going to be really, really in a critical mass week to week, especially when we have a decent offensive line or a decent quarterback. Got to find someone to fill that spot.
Well, I'm going to jump in and take the interception. I'm at CD, I think. What kind of interception are we talking? This is pretty much straight up. didn't see the guy behind the linebacker and popped in front of him and grabbed an interception. First of all, there's never any love for Brad Jones. I feel like we're 6 weeks ago and we're still here. The Packers, you know, we've been talking all week, and I took some flack, too, about saying that we don't have any big hitters in the defense and comparing the 96 team to the 2010 team. But the bottom line, you know, it's going to be a scheme this year. It's for one of the first times that I can remember, the coaches are going to be just as important as the players out there. And I think that we have all the players in place, and the coaches think we have all the players in place. Sure, I'd like to grab an impact player if there was one out there or via a trade, but realistically, there's nobody out there that's going to make a bang, and there's no one we're going to trade away to get someone that's going to make a bang. So we got to use the depth we have. We may sign someone for depth, but I'm happy with what we got, and I think if Capers can put him in the right position, we're going to be fine. If that makes any sense. Does that make any sense?
No,
I don't know.
I disagree with you.
Well, I guess I have the tiebreaker on this one. I'm going to have to go with CD on this one and a touchdown.
Yes.
This is a Greg Jennings 80-yard catch and run TD for me.
Ooh, come on. You're really giving it.
Hold on, Alex. It's my turn now. I did a little research on this one. Just to confuse Alex with more actual facts, I took all the Packers linebackers who are not rookies and added up their total career games started and total career sacks. Altogether, this group has averaged one sack every six starts. That's Chillar, Papinga, Jones, Barnett, Hawk, and Bishop. For the defensive linemen, it was one sack every five starts. That's just Jenkins, Raji, and Pickett. Now, certain players may skew the average, but even if we throw out half the total starts, just trying to make it look better, it still comes out to an average of two sacks every five games from the linebackers and the defensive linemen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're done here. Touchdown.
I would agree. And the thing is, Al, how many of those sacks came against lesser opponents? But you go against Pittsburgh, you go against Arizona. It's not the sacks aren't.
And what I want to know, Al, is what you broke down the other 31 teams and their per sack average of the linebackers.
That's how
you have that.
I'll get back to you when I have time.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's anything close, we'll be having another talk.
I'll leave that up to you.
Yeah.
Okay, on to extra point number two. Sam Shields is just Jarrett Bush with more speed.
Man, this is a Aaron Rodgers drops back. There's like three guys wide open, but he throws it to Driver just because he's getting close to a record touchdown. Sam Shields is not going to make this football team. People get over it right now. All you Sam Shields lovers, all you Sam Shields guy out here, all the guy is fast. He can't catch. We don't know if he can tackle. He wasn't even drafted. He was a receiver before he even played defense. He's small and he's fast, and that's it. And you guys just eat up small, fast guys every year. Sam Shields not going to make the team, not even working with the team right now on anything that makes a difference. Touchdown. He's out of here.
Okay, well, I'm taking the interception on this one. And this is a pick six interception for me, but in a game, the Packers are already winning by two touchdowns. In other words, it's great to see, but not really a big deal. Sam Shields, in the limited sample we've seen, may have already passed up Jarrett Bush in the cornerback department. Not that it's hard to be better than Bush. But have you ever seen Jarrett Bush have the awareness and ability to make a play like Shields did on his family night interception? Now, I think it was foolish to send Shields out there so soon to try to field punts. Kickoffs, maybe, but not punts. That's a McCarthy faux pas, so I can't hold that against him. Add all of the positive comments Shields has gotten from teammates. You remember hearing any for Jarrett Bush? And it's fairly obvious Shields will one day be better than Jarrett Bush can ever hope to be.
Oh. Well, I don't know, Alex. You were pretty passionate over there. I mean, I'm hoping you believed everything you said there.
I think I do. I've been on the record already.
You think?
You're not sure?
I've been on the record with this before tonight.
Okay.
I am going to have to take... I don't know if I'm going to take an interception. I'm definitely going to take a punt on this one. I'm going to punt it away and hope for something. It's kind of an interception, just not as bad. Maybe it's more of like a well, – never mind. Anyway, Sam Shields, to me, is a guy who presents a lot of hope. He is an undrafted free agent. We're putting him back there and hoping he can take over being a better returner than Will Blackman or Desmond Howard or anyone else we've had back there. The guy has a lot of room to grow. If possible, if he has to spend a season on the practice squad, he does it. But honestly, I think he's going to make it on potential. Now, does that mean he's out of the woods? No. If you're not able to field a punt, I'm sure going to be worried about you handling an interception too. But he did make some plays. Sam Shields is not Jarrett Bush with more speed. If for no other reason, I refuse to label another player as being the same as Jarrett Bush. So I'm going to punt that one away.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That one's the Al. Okay, are we ready for extra point number three?
Yep.
Let's go.
Okay. After Aaron Rodgers, the player the Packers can least afford to lose to injury is Clay Matthews.
Ooh.
Well, I guess I'll take the touchdown on this one. This is you're rubbing your eyes because you think you just saw Ryan Pickett pick up a fumble and run 95 yards for a touchdown. It would be easy to say Charles Woodson here. Very easy to say Charles Woodson. And I'm pretty sure CD and Alex will do that. But believe it or not, I'm saying Clay Matthews. Now, let's think a little deeper about this. As I already mentioned in the previous pass rush discussion, the Packers' current defensive front seven is not throwing any fear into opposing quarterbacks. My contention is that without Clay Matthews, it wouldn't help to have two or three Charles Woodsons in the secondary. Without a pass rush, a good quarterback will pick the Packers' defense apart, and I think it's been proven. With a pass rush and no Charles Woodson, the Packers at least have a fighting chance. Touchdown.
Touchdown for Al. I'd love to agree with you there, Al.
I know you won't.
You're right. I'm
probably
not going
to. You will, but
I don't know. I'm gonna take the interception on this one, and this is a Charles Martin slamming Jim McMahon in the backfield. But I love Clay Matthews, and I am totally on board with how important he is to our front seven. Last year's Cardinal game totally proved that. He was the only one getting back there. So he's imperative. What I look at in terms of being able to least afford a player due to injury is how well can the team compensate for his loss? Do we have a player who is Clay Matthews on the roster that can come in and play in his spot if he's hurt? Probably not, but we do have Desmond Bishop. We do have Brandon Chiller. We do have Papinga and all of these guys who've played before, and no, they're not as good as him, but they're serviceable. If you lose Nick Collins or you lose Charles Woodson, there is a world of hurt behind you, especially if Al Harris is still out. I hate to disagree, but I really think that right now our secondary is going to be a far more hurting unit without one of those two guys than Clay Matthews.
Pretty easy to take there, CD, I got to say. I'm taking the interception on this one. Ryan Grant's the second most valuable player on this football team right now, hands down.
Ooh.
We lose Ryan Grant to injury, we're more screwed than if Clay Matthews goes down or anyone else for the
defender.
Did not
see that coming.
CD wins, but not for the reasons we all thought.
So you don't think they'll just throw a lot more if we lose Ryan Grant?
I think I'm going to throw a lot more even if we have Ryan Grant, but that's
tend to agree. Okay, well, that was an interesting
Who won?
Yeah.
Like Jamie said, no, didn't see that one coming.
I think Ryan Grant won that one, I think.
Maybe. somehow he gets into the Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson discussion.
Wow. Holy cow. Anyway, well, thank you very much. And Jamie, excellent job narrating our extra points of contention this week.
Thank you.
Excellent. What we're going to move into now, normally at this time we break for a commercial, we have some really cool disco music, but since we're actually into the games, Holly, our usual host, does an excellent feature over at the Other 31 at CheeseheadTV.com called Opposition Research, and she picks through everything that the team that we're coming up to play with that week, she has everything, any rumor, any injuries, she gets you prepared for who we're going to play. She's not with us this week, but she has given us our, has given us our Opposition Research Minute.
And now, this week's Opposition Research Minute.
I don't think any NFL coach was more excited about the start of preseason than Seattle's Pete Carroll. He led the Seahawks in bounding joyfully over blocking pads at training camp, and when it came time to play the Titans last week, Carroll hugged each of his players and gave a high five to the guy who sang the national anthem. It's great to see the coach in such a good mood, especially when his team has so many question marks. There's been preseason talk about whether even quarterback Matt Hasselbeck's job is safe after Charlie Whitehurst, the third stringer from San Diego, was solid against Tennessee. Hasselbeck is entering his 12th year, and after throwing 17 touchdowns and 17 interceptions last year, a new coach may not be as patient. If Whitehurst gets time against the Packers' number one defense and does well, expect his fan base to grow. On the offensive line, they're hoping that rookie Russell Okung can be effective at left tackle, despite holding out for part of training camp. And in the ground game, they're hoping that, somehow, a committee approach with Leon Washington, Julius Jones, Justin Forsett, and Quinton Ganther can be effective. And on a related note, given the running back by committee approach in Seattle, you may consider passing on Washington, Jones, Forsett, and Ganther as a starter in your fantasy drafts. But this week, as far as players to watch, I'd keep my eyes on rookie safety Earl Thomas, number 29. Like Morgan Burnett, he's looking to make a big splash on defense. I'll also be interested to see whether Seattle's defensive line can generate a pass rush without Patrick Kearney, after the Packers were so effective in picking up the Browns' blitzes last week. But mostly, I'm looking forward to watching Pete Carroll dance on the sidelines, because, hey, at least someone on the field will look happy to be there.
Excellent. Okay. Well, it's good to hear from Holly.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've reached the point in our show where we get to bring in one of our fellow Packer blogosphere members, and we're happy to introduce this week's Blogger of the Week.
Blogger of the Week.
Excellent. Joining us this week from Acme Packing Company is Brandon. Brandon, are you with us this week?
I am here.
How are you
Hello,
doing
Brandon.
Today?
Hello.
I'm great. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, welcome to Cheesehead Radio. Good to have you on here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your site and what you offer people there.
Well, I'm a member of the SB Nation network of blogs. So we've got a blog for each of the 32 NFL teams amongst of 274 blogs overall. And I've been doing this with Acme Packing Company since like March of 2007, and I've been writing a blog since early 2003. So
holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an old man in blogger terms.
Wow.
So, and just watching games and writing, sitting down at evening, writing some posts, and just going from there. It's not my day job. I'm keeping very busy these days, but
feeling.
Yeah. So.
The first blog you were doing, was that a Packers blog or was that
something
else?
It was just a Blogspot Packers blog. I did that for a few years, and got recruited to SB Nation. So, and then I had to pick a name for my blog site, and I'm a bit of a history buff, so I decided to go old school, as old as I could, in Packer history, and that's where I got the name from.
Nice.
Excellent. So what's your take so far on last week's game? What was your feeling on that?
Well, I'm kind of, at this point, I'm looking at players, I guess, especially guys I'm not going to get to see much, you know, like during the regular season, like, you know, this is our only chance to see probably Desmond Bishop this year, things like that.
Mr. August.
Mr. August, yeah. So, you know, and, yeah, you get to watch guys like who you're talking about, you know, Sam Shields. I mean, should a guy like that make the team? And when they do cut him, you know, was it a mistake? Or, you know, why did they choose one guy over the other? You know, I mean, I think we pretty much know what to expect from the who should be the starting 22, give or take one or two open spots. But, so, I mean, that's the main thing I'm looking for. I think the Packers got a heck of a future left tackle from what I saw in one game. So that was very promising. And I'm not really quite sure what they're going to do at strong safety. I wasn't too impressed with Burnett in week one here. Thought he took some bad angles. And I don't know.
And it sounds like Bigme may be out for a longer period of time, too.
And he's out for a long time. I mean, what's plan C here if they have to go that route? I mean, Martin,
Bush. Why'd you have to go say that for?
Hey, I'll bring up another scary moment in Packers history. The last year's game in Minnesota when Martin was running the wrong coverage or something, and they had to bring him.
Harris wanted to take his head off.
But he's an excellent special team player.
He's an excellent special, but I think that was the one time you can say that Jared Bush was actually an upgrade.
Yeah.
And so that's a low bar, but there you are. So.
Well, at that point, Jared Bush knew the defense, and Derek Martin really didn't. So
you have
to take that into account, too.
So, I'm just hoping to – I'm hoping Burnett, you know, first game, you know, he's got to – get this out of his system, I guess, and let's just hope he looks. Yeah, just one game. Let's hope it looks better in the going forward. So there's some tweaking to the 22-man roster, but, you know, so, I mean, those are the type of guys I'm looking at. And,
cool.
Yeah. I give Burnett a bit of a pass. You know, first game, rookie, starter. I'm not ready to get down on him yet. Yeah, he didn't particularly play that well. I agree with you there, but I'm willing to give him another three preseason games and then see what
Absolutely. So. Yeah, absolutely. So, I agreed with what you were talking about with the pass rush. I mean, where is it going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
I did like Neal, but – and Zombo knocked McCoy out of the game. That was kind of something.
He's got a cool-ass name.
And he's got a cool name, yeah. And I do. I'm a big Brad Jones fan. I don't think he did anything to hurt himself. I still don't know why he's behind Chiller, but you know.
Actually, I looked today. He's behind Papinga. It looked like on the depth chart over at Packers.com.
Is he? Well, yeah. I was looking at the depth chart. It looks like it doesn't look like they got them on the right side based on the first game. I mean, because. Did you think that too, or?
I don't know. It looked all mixed up to me. What do you think, guys?
Well, I think the depth chart. I mean, how often does that get updated on Packers?
Yeah,
I think
it's been. Yeah. Maybe it's been a week or so.
I think they probably do it once, right? At least once a week, at the most, maybe. So, you know, with Mike McCarthy, things change very quickly in terms of position. So.
No doubt.
Yeah. So it looks like it's. Matthews, Papinga on the one side, as far as, you know, starter backup, and it looks like it's Chiller and Jones on the other side.
Yeah.
And I just wrote a post about that. That just came up this morning.
Name the starting outside linebackers, right?
Yeah. Just pointing out how few sacks the guy is not named Matthews. Well, zero. So Papinga has 4 sacks and 43 career starts.
Wow.
And Chiller has, I didn't write it here, I think he's got 7.5
I got them all if you want them.
Oh, boy.
I have them all. Chiller, in 52 starts for Chiller. 7.5, 52 starts.
I mean.
Who else did you want to know?
Well, I mean, well, I know Brad Jones has 4, and he's
been, 4 and 7 starts. He's got by far the best average, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So Falk, 8.5 and 62 starts.
Yeah, well, you know, he's not exactly, you know, he's inside linebacker. I wouldn't expect him to have a lot, but
right.
Yeah, I think it has to be. I don't know. I guess I'm just gonna wait for the rest of the preseason. Wait for Jones to take over.
I've been thinking that by the time the season starts, hopefully he's won the job back. You know, because I think he has a lot more to offer than Chiller would.
So, did I see someone say that they liked C.J. Wilson in the first game? I really didn't notice the guy too much. I don't know if anyone
I didn't see much, no.
Yeah.
I don't think he got in until real late, like the last quarter.
Yeah.
I didn't notice him before then.
Yeah. So, yeah, so what else was going on? It looked like Matt Flynn got killed behind the second team line. He took some shots.
He showed us one thing. He showed us that he's got some toughness, you know.
Bobby took a couple shots.
He didn't show us much else, but he showed that he's willing to stand in there and get himself beat up. So that counts for something, I guess.
Did he just have the one interception, the Hail Mary? Or
wasn't there an earlier one?
Well, he had
one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he didn't look great. He didn't look bad. I mean, they're going to get in trouble.
Like Matt Flynn.
He looked like Matt Flynn, yeah. So.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. We have about 20 minutes left. Brandon, we'd love to, if you would want to stick around with us and handle any roundtable questions we may have. We're also going to take some calls coming in from fans. Hopefully, we got plenty of people in the chat room tonight. Our phone number, 917-932-8401. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get to it.
Yep, let's get a few callers in here. Oh, right there. Excellent.
Yeah. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
Are you there?
Is this Fred?
Oh, we can only hope.
All right. Well, we'll have him try again a little bit later there. All right. Anyone else wants to call in? Feel free. Yeah. Alex, are you with us?
Oh, yeah, if you put me on.
In fact, you got it, buddy. Alex, that was the quietest I've ever heard Alex Talish in my life.
Yeah, I thought he fell asleep.
Actually on right now? I've been off since like the extra point of contention about Ryan Grant.
Really? Is that why we heard nothing from you?
He was talking.
Were you
to
on mute? Or? Oh wow.
He hung up or something, or something went goofy there. But I got him back on. So
I couldn't type anything in the chat because I'm not registered, and I'm like, what the heck? And I'm sitting, I'm listening to the show, going, what the heck? I see how it is.
Hello.
Did we lose him again?
I think we did.
You cut him off?
Something must have happened there. So I think our caller is going to try again here. So let's see if we can see if this is Fred or not. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Radio. Hello? Okay, I think I'm just going to stop answering that number at this point. So anyway, well, let's get started with a little bit of discussion here. The defense, I think, always has to be kind of an issue. I mean, you're looking at what's happening. Where do you diagnose the problem? Is this a personnel thing? Is it just the players we have can't do it? Is it Don Capers? Is he just not able to get these guys in a position or whatever? Or do you think the problem is with the scheme itself, the 3-4, or him toying around with that? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I personally love the 3-4 from the stance of that I remember all the run defensive problems they had in 2008, and it fixed that in 2009. What do you think is the – I don't see any reason why that shouldn't be as good as last year. What do you think is the big problem? Is it the pass rush or just the lack of depth in the secondary or –
Well, for me, it's definitely pass rush, without a doubt. Pass rush can hide a lot of blemishes in the secondary. One guy is not going to do it. You can scheme for one guy very easily, as other teams did last season. So where is it going to come from is the question, and that's my problem. Where is it going to come from? So to me, it's a personnel problem.
Yeah.
You can talk about bringing people, all these different schemes and setups and tricks and you name it. You can talk about it all, but still, you got to have a guy who can blow past an offensive tackle and get to the quarterback besides Clay Matthews.
I would have to agree that I think we have a couple players who are limited. I think you look at Barnett, I think he might be miscast in the middle linebacker role. Just looking at what the 3-4 is, that's kind of a, shed blockers. You can get him involved if you want. He had 4 sacks last year, which is great. But if he's that great of a pass rusher, he should probably be on the outside. We have some – I don't know if A.J. Hawk is good enough in coverage. I think a lot of our guys suffer in coverage, and I think if we can't get a good pass rush, that's you saw Jake Delhomme do that to us. I don't know if it's a scheme. I have a lot of faith in Don Capers. I love the fact that he's able to tinker with things and try new things and try to tailor the offense to the talent, but I think there's a couple guys that need to be upgraded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Anyone else need to chime in there?
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Brandon, a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Tell us about how you first became a Packers fan, and is there any special story behind it?
No, it just grew up in Wisconsin, just always was a, just by the first time I realized what football was and I got into football, I figured out they're my hometown team, and that was it. I was hooked for life. Unfortunately, I was hooked during the 80s. So I think that's a good perspective sometimes. Sometimes I see struggles and I think, I remember some struggles. I mean, I look at the defense and go, yeah, it could be a lot it could be a lot worse. So I think it does give me a nice perspective on some things. But I know one thing we haven't talked about is, or maybe it was, it's an off subject about what happens in Minnesota. But is that a forbidden subject around here?
Go ahead.
No, I just wonder. I mean, I wrote a post about it. As far as I mean that. It looks like when you look at their offense up and down on their positions, I just looks like that, especially with the injuries at wide receiver, it looks like they're a lot weaker up and down that offensive roster than they were this time last year.
I would definitely say if Harvin's out, I think that's going to play a big role too. He was kind of a go-to guy. But even the offensive line, I think, looks a little shakier.
And no one seems to know when Rice is coming back.
No.
And
I'm looking forward to complete implosion. That's just me.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's see if we have someone here. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Radio.
Hey, it's Max. How you guys doing?
Max Ginsburg. Welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing very well tonight. I got two things to say here.
It wouldn't be about the Vikings or anything, would it?
I promise this is 100% far-free here.
Okay, good.
One, I'm wondering about this this contract dispute between Alex and the rest of Cheesehead Radio. And then two, I'm on a more serious note, I'm wondering, it's obviously early, but should we be a little worried about the defense?
Well, number one, first and foremost, we have Holly on a plane right now traveling to Minnesota to go talk to Alex Talish right now. So she may be driving the SUV back to Cheesehead Radio Camp.
Very nice. Very nice.
What do you guys think about the defense? What's your thought right now, Max?
Well, obviously it was good last year, but in terms of ranking, but there were some obvious deficiencies of the pass defense against good quarterbacks, and losing an interior pass rusher or interior lineman is losing Jolly, and then I don't know. You can argue that we didn't really upgrade much. Maybe we have a new safety in there. We didn't pick up linebackers. I don't know. It's just, I'm a little curious. I don't know. I'm not worried yet, but I'm just a little curious to see what's going to happen.
I'm not worried yet. I think maybe I would start to become worried, say maybe after that third preseason game when the starters get to play more, and based on, that first preseason game, look at all the starters on defense who were still missing. It was a little disheartening to see us, the defense, still making the same mistakes that cost us so dearly last year, but that wasn't everyone we're going to start the season with, or at least have for most of the season. I still think we have questions. Like you were saying, we didn't necessarily go out and pick anybody up to really solve those questions, but I think under the Capers 3-4 scheme, I think we will improve in our second year, and I won't start to really be worried until I see more of our starters out there for a longer period of time playing. And if they're still making mistakes then yes, worried. But not right now, just in a wait-and-see kind of place.
Right, and that third preseason game, we should definitely know. I mean, Peyton Manning should tell the pass defensive.
Yeah.
There's your test. Very good that it's in game three, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually the game that we're going to see a lot of the starters for a little extended time, too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Is Max still there?
I'm still here. But, yeah, so like I said, I'm not worried. I'm just kind of wondering. It's just been coming up my mind lately, wondering your guys' thoughts on it, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah.
Max, before you go, Brandon started talking before about the Vikings and some injuries that they have. Since you also cover the Vikings, what can you tell us about what they're experiencing over there, non-farm related?
Right. I heard Brandon talking a little bit about Rice, and that's interesting because, the injury just popped up out of nowhere. At least we were informed that we didn't know anything was happening there, and so that's one to keep an eye on. And then Harvin, when I was writing a post about him today, I had a little trouble writing it. I felt so bad for the guy that, something totally out of his control that, I don't know, I saw Kevin Seifert wrote it could be career-threatening. And you got to wonder at this point, he's got to worry about his health a lot more than he's got to worry about football. And that's, it's hard to look at that and then go to a football standpoint, but you take the top receivers out and Brett can make receivers look good, but I don't know. It's practice squad receivers after Berrien.
Well, he had a year of that too.
What about the offensive line?
I think the offensive line, I heard Sullivan, their center, was a little nicked up, but I think they'll be better. As long as Hutchinson stays healthy, I think they'll be fine.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, Max Ginsburg, purplepantsgreenjersey.com. Thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. You betcha.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks, Max.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, you're on Cheesehead Radio. Hello? Are you there?
Again.
It's a different number
this time. This is the person that kicks me off to talk about car insurance again.
Yeah, it's been something there. Anyway. Okay.
Technical difficulties, you think?
I'm not sure here. Let's try another one here. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Radio.
The show that I work for.
Alex, we'll pay you more. Come back.
We'll try it the phone angle. I don't know what that was. I've been off the show since Brian Grant was the most important guy on the team way back at that awesome point.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
No one probably even noticed. That's the sad thing. What are we talking about? I couldn't hear nothing.
We're still trying to find people to call in, but I said we keep, every
no
time I think we bring
in.
Someone in, we lose somebody. So
there's like 6 billion people in the chat. Max Ginsburg, call in here. I know you're just sitting there.
He just did. He just did.
Oh, he just did? Oh,
yeah, where were you?
My bad. My bad. I apologize.
There we go.
He's going to call and yell at me.
Hey, you're on GZ Radio.
Hi, this is Global Pack.
Global
yeah.
Pack.
Oh, Global Pack.
Global.
So I don't get to watch any. I'm doing well, yourself.
Super duper.
I'm enjoying the show.
Thanks.
So I'm calling. I don't get to watch the practices. I just thought going to this camp that TJ Lang would be the guy who was, you know, trying to push his way into the starting rotation. And, you know, just looking at the Twitter feeds that I see, I never see his name or see him doing really anything of note. Is Breno just doing that much better than him, or is his wrist being the problem is why he's not getting in there?
That's a good question.
Well, I think his wrist has definitely slowed him. He seems to be healthy now, but I think his biggest problem right now is they've just decided he's a guy who's going to be on the right side of the line, and they got Sitton, they got Tosher, he's got nowhere to compete right now. So he's good depth, but, you know, he's not getting a chance at left guard, which is really the only spot he could compete for.
I also think
yeah.
he's just a lock to make the team right now. I mean, you're going to make the team, and now is your chance to take a look at guys that are on the bubble, and that's just, you know, what he can do. He's hurt, white, wristed. You know, he's going to make the team, and we'll find out what he can do later. I think if he wasn't injured, it would be a much different story, and he may be even competing at that left guard spot for sure. Hard to say.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like he's really been given a good opportunity to win a job. You know, I think the Packers are looking at him as, oh, okay, well, he can play guard, he can play tackle, we can fill him in here and there, he can be one of our emergency guys at different positions, you know, which we all know they love to do. So I think they're kind of looking at him like that now, which surprises me, but that's the feeling I get.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for calling in.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I want to tell you, Global Pack, there was an idea you were throwing around with me the other day. Someone already took it from you. Go to PackerRanter.com, read their post for the last month.
It's
uncanny.
Good.
All right. Thanks.
Another TJ stolen, man.
Yeah.
Well, hey, just another quick question for you guys, and I think this is something we got to bring up. We got about 4 minutes here, but Justin Harrell.
Justin Harrell
misses practice yesterday. Obviously, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Brian Caribou, of course, reporting he's supposed to be back. Brian Caribou broke the news, by the way. Reporting he's supposed to be back, and then he's not back. And, of course, more wailing and gnashing of teeth. As it turns out, his wife had a baby, I think it was last night, so he's been excused for personal reasons. What's your thoughts, guys? Is this something to be concerned about? Is this a bump in the road, or is he on track to be a starter this year? Or I should say make the roster this year, not a starter.
Well, congratulations, of course.
Yeah.
I think he's locked.
I hear all morning people are ready to crucify this. Take him off the team. He's a bust, blah, blah, blah. I can't even believe he's not there, blah, blah, blah. I hate this guy. Cut him right this second.
Blah, blah,
dude's
blah.
Dude's having a baby. God,
yeah.
Give him a break already.
I hope they feel stupid now.
Alex, who moved your cheese curd?
It's been a long day. It's been a long day.
Oh, I know. I'm hoping he does well. I'm hoping that he can make the team. He can justify anything. I'm not going to have high expectations for him because, like I said, the consternation that surrounds him, there's a point where I wonder if that amount of pressure just isn't something that gets in your head after a while. You know, all the doubt and all the name calling, and you know, you'd miss a practice and everyone is on you like glue. That's got to be tough for him to take sometimes.
Yeah, you know, with Harrell, what can you say? You feel for the guy. At least I feel for the guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone through a lot of hard work just to try to get back out there on the field. Excuse me. Anyone who's ever had any kind of back problems will tell you, you know, just functioning on a daily basis as opposed to playing football sometimes can be difficult. So you really feel for the guy. You root for him. But personally, I can't be too optimistic.
Jamie, what's your thought on that?
Well, I'm reading the chat right now, and I mean, they're all saying that his wife had an emergency C-section, and I mean, that he's not going to the game on Saturday, which I think Paige just tweeted about a little while ago. It's hard because you want him to do really well, and this is totally a circumstance where I think most people, everyone is saying, you know, we wish his family well, but missing this time for him and missing that game is going to cost him a lot. And I don't know if he's going to be able to come back to it. Just the mental aspects of that, like everyone was saying, that he has to climb back against and prove himself and then just to miss all this time, it's going to be difficult. I want him to make the team just because I want him to do well. I really just personally want him to do well. I just don't know if it's actually going to happen.
Yep.
I just say if your baby's born, you just go, you stay there. And that's a moment that you can never get football or not. Yeah, I cut him some slack. I want to see him do good.
I don't think anyone's arguing that, Alex.
No, I'm on you, Al. I'm cautiously optimistic, and that's about where it's at. Either way, win or lose.
Well, we've got about a minute left here. What are you guys looking for on Saturday with the Seattle game?
Oh, good question. You know, the second game's traditionally so unexciting for me. I mean, you're going to see a series, maybe two out of the starters. You're going to see all the guys that are up for the first cut playing most of the games. It's going to be more penalty-ridden than ever. The second game always is. You know, I'm just looking for something that lasts less than 2.5 hours and has some decent plays.
I'm looking for someone to catch a punt. That's what I want to see. I have low expectations, but that's all I want.
I want to see an opposing quarterback get sacked.
That would be good.
Amen.
I want to see Alex Talish make another Quinn Johnson highlight video.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's my boy, which is usually a death knell for any player, but.
Okay.
Well,
that is the horn. We are out of time for today, but I just wanted to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to Alan, Alex, and Jamie doing a great job today. Thank you to everyone in the chat room. You guys rock.
Kind of read along with that.
That was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, next week, it's going to be a little bit different for us. Our usual time is Thursday night. But as we know, there's a Packer game next week. So we will be on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Remember that, Alex. Write that down. Our special guest, Robert Greenfield of PackerRanter.com, is joining us.
Really?
And he's in the chat room tonight.
Yeah.
So, rock and roll.
In the house.
We got a little note from our only person who's got an 89 swag rating, found in Idaho.
wants us to remind you that before the Seattle game, the Northwest Packer Backers will be having a tailgate party at Quest Field. So if you're in the area and you want to join in, you can go to their homepage, northwestpackerbackers.com, get some more information there. Once again, if you can't listen to us live because you're not at a computer, just call in. You can listen right over your phone. And if you can't listen to us live, we're on iTunes and we're also on Stitcher. Thank you to Max Ginsburg and Global Pack for calling, and a big thanks to Brandon for Acme for joining us. We're out of here.
Night,
thanks,
all.
Thanks, Brandon.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.